If we've said it once, we've said it hundreds of times. Crypto goes up, crypto goes down. It just so happens this is one of those down times. And while it feels bad to see your portfolio shrinking, there's many reasons to be extremely optimistic, not the least of which is the approaching halving and the largely predictable four-year cycle. The most optimistic projections still have Bitcoin eventually hitting $1 million. We've got the latest news cycle covered, and we'll hit you up with all the juicy tidbits, because who doesn't like their bits titted and juicy? It's stuff we find interesting right here on our bad news episode number 722. Oh my, of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Who's bad?
Sometimes I even crack myself up with my improv, Sir Lord Travis, right? Because I don't know what a titted, juicy bit even is.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know if I was muted or not, but you might have heard me laugh.
No, you snickered, and then I snickered, and I thought, I like a good snickers from time to time.
You said titted and juicy. Who doesn't love juicy titties?
Welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast, the show for the crypto curious, serious, and inappropriate. Joel Comm here, Travis right there. Glad you guys are with us for another episode. And the halving is nigh, Sir Lord Travis. It is nigh.
It's true. And I want to let you all know that to commemorate Bitcoin's halving, I've actually cut my Bitcoin. My whole portfolio has been cut in half. So it's good. That's good. Just to let y'all know there. You're not alone, folks. You are not alone.
Yeah. We don't know how low we can go. Some are projecting that 50 might be the bottom. We actually dipped below today. Let's just go ahead and get right into it. As I bring up the screen for those of you that are watching the visual version of the show on YouTube, Rumble, or Odyssey TV, you can see and follow the bouncing ball with us. A fresh refresh on the 17th of April at 1:21 p.m. Eastern time shows the crypto market cap at sad trombone, $2.32 trillion. Bitcoin, $60,644, down 12% over the last week. Down 15% is Ethereum, $29.76. BNB down 13%, $5.24. Solana, big hit, down 24% to $130. We've got XRP at 48 cents. Toncoin entering the top 10 at $6.10. And Doge is rounding it out here at 14.7 cents. Ouchie. Ouchie, Sir Lord Travis.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about this and how it seemed like because of Bitcoin's ETF, this pre-halving stuff, or even the post-halving pop, sort of happened before the halving. And so now it's almost like we've gotten into this thing where the maybe the excitement of the halving has already happened before the halving. And so now we're seeing that sort of traditional after halving dip. But if there's any indication of this, you know, this is a crazy week, realistically, not just crypto wise, geopolitically. When you see Iran shooting things into the Iron Dome of Israel, and you're going, wow, this could be some. I mean, I think the stock market and the whole crypto world and everything got a little, whoa, what's going to happen here? And so we're not full-fledged World War III yet, but it seems to be knocking on that door, which is not good.
Well, you know, there's always panic out there and all the link bait, you know, World War III starting. And I'm like, you know what, guys, just slow your roll.
Yeah. I'm looking outside here. It's plenty sunny. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here. And there's some place. It's not if you're in Dubai. Did you see the floods they had there?
Dude.
Holy cow. Whole year of rain in one day.
Right. No, I'm looking at this. So a friend of mine, so Russia's going through massive floods. There's like all these places all over the world that are going through crazy floods right now. And so, and then I was looking at that. I was like, wow, look at all these damn floods. And then, oh, wow, look at the geopolitical craziness and floods. Like, so Sometimes, folks, the crypto markets, and you know, when people are charting and they're going here and look at these lines here and the EMA and the average and the sometimes geopolitical things come into play that, you know, look what happened with COVID last time, right? Last March or in 2020 and right before the last halving. And then Bitcoin just went brr, and we were like, no, no, no. Bitcoin's supposed to be decoupled from the global finance. Nope, burp. And then, wow. So, I mean, we're looking at right now, this week has been, you know, crazy. A lot of them, there's a lot of projects that are down 30%. I mean, I'm scrolling, still over 30%, 30%, 30, wow. 30, so many of them. A lot of the top 100 took a huge dump, and there's not very many that didn't take a dump last week. There's only what? White Bitcoin and First Digital USD, but those are all stable coins. Yeah, nobody had a good week.
You know, interesting thing enough is the only thing that is still decoupled from standard fiat currency is gold, precious metals. Mm-hmm. You know, look at this. It's still, you know, its all-time high was about 2380 or so, and gold has stuck strong. And Bitcoin is not there yet as the store of value. It's still speculative enough. Mm-hmm. There's still, you know, enough regulation that needs to come out in order for people to go, okay, this is a safe harbor. But I believe this next run, I've been watching some of Plan B's stuff, and I would love for us to get him on the show. That dude is super sharp. And he does not deter. Like, the ups, the downs don't matter. Here's what the charts say. And the charts say the halving is coming, and there is a standard 4-year cycle that plays out because it's mathematically programmed in to the Bitcoin algorithm. Scarcity mm-hmm. is going to increase. And as of this podcast, in 2 days, 8 hours, 15 minutes, and 42 seconds, the block halving is going to happen. And we are now going to be mining 3.125 Bitcoin every 210,000 blocks. Is that what it is? Yeah, 210,000 blocks. And the supply is going to slow. It's going to become more scarce. And although we had the hype on this last pre-halving run, most people believe that that was ETF-based hype and not about the halving. We have yet to see the impact of the halving, and it's really the next 12 to 18 months that I personally believe, not financial advice, do your own damn research, that incredible generational wealth is going to be made in Bitcoin.
Yeah, my humble opinion. It's just always a little scary. You know, it's like you never know, and that's why people who like weak hands, they get flushed out, and that's just kind of the way it goes. Now, think about this, though, Joel. I mean, if we're looking at this, you know, we always do what is the price of Bitcoin to the U.S. dollar. But right now, one Bitcoin is 25 and a half ounces of gold. Right? That's crazy when you think of it like that. And remember when we started the show back in July of 2017? I don't remember. I'm looking to see if I can see exactly what the price of Bitcoin was. I can't necessarily see that. But I think it was less than $2,000. If I'm not mistaken.
When we started the show?
Yeah, on the day we started the show.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Just go ahead and share your point. Yeah, I'll find it.
Pull a link up for that. Because, I mean, an ounce of gold then was like, what, $1,700, $1,800? So it was almost like 1 ounce of gold was one Bitcoin, essentially.
Okay, so July 2017, right about here. Yeah.
Right at $2,000, dude.
Yeah. Yep,
so 19%. It was about 1-to-1, 1 ounce of gold to 1 Bitcoin. Here we are 6 years later, 7 years later, and one Bitcoin is 25 and a half ounces of gold. And that's with the price of gold increasing substantially, right?
Can I just point out also, Trav, that since we started the show, like right after we started the show, just it doubled like a month later, and then we went into a bull run. So
it was so fun then, wasn't it? It was ridiculous.
We don't want to say that we're responsible for really kicking off Bitcoin, but apparently bad crypto is built into the algorithm, and by some fate, we had nothing to do with
it. We don't really like to toot our own horns that often, but our horns are very tootable.
Now look at this. And again, we got to get Plan B on the show. I just watched his most recent video, and he only does one video a month. I think it was our buddy JLD who told me to go watch his stuff, and so reliable. And he's stayed anonymous. So when he comes on a show, you don't get to see his face, but he goes into this, and he talks about, you know, here is past price performance on halving. The first halving happened right here in 2015, right? And then boom, and back a little bit, and then boom, and then down. Second halving.
That actually had two bull runs built in. That for after that first halving, there was a bull run and then another bull run. It was just like that thing lasted forever.
It got double bullish. And then the second halving here, and what happened? And remember, this is exponential. This is logarithmic. You're looking at it. It's not like, oh, it went from here to here and then double twice. No. This is from $690 to $20,000 here. Okay. And then the third halving happened here, and you could see it go up. We don't have all the stats to take us all the way out to 2024 on this chart. But look at this total number of Bitcoin now in circulation, 19,685,000.
Wow.
93.74% of them mined, 1.3 million left to mine. And we're just about there. It's a halving celebration. Yay.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, I think, you know, historically, and in looking at the charts, and we're talking about charts, and sometimes depending on geopolitical stuff, charts can change. But based on where it looks like we're headed, I mean, there's people saying, based on the math, it looks like we're going to hit 200,000, 250,000. Some people are saying 450,000 this cycle. I don't know. I think somewhere between 150 and 180 is my uneducated guess. But I mean, here's the thing. You got more money pouring in now than ever, and the blocks have decreased from 6.25 to 3.125. So there's half as much supply. There's double the demand, if not quadruple the demand, with all these ETFs and all these new retail investors with the E-Trade babies and the Motley Fools starting to figure out, oh, look what's happening. ETFs are legit. Hong Kong just did it. Is doing a Bitcoin ETF, right? And Ethereum's, BlackRock wants to do Ethereum ETFs. And then who knows? You're probably going to see a Pepe ETF and then other shitcoin ETFs. I don't know.
A Pepe. Well, and look, retail hasn't even really gotten involved yet. I think what we've seen is really just been institutional and ETFs, which are more sophisticated investors. Retail hasn't really even jumped in yet. This is interesting, though. According to the exchange Bybit, they said that the Bitcoin supply is going to run out. You want to talk about supply and demand? It's in 9 months. They say exchanges that have been accumulated by exchanges are not going to have the Bitcoin that they're going to want to offer to people. And what's going to happen then when you can't get it from an exchange? I mean, then the increase in the price goes boop, just to latch on to a little bit.
Yeah, scroll down a little bit on that, Joel. Scroll down just a little bit, and there's that chart right there. Yeah, right there. Pop up that chart.
Pop.
Poppity pop. And so I don't know if you can see this or not. These are the exchange reserves, and that basis like the price and the exchange reserve. Like look at how much they have already. And this is something where some exchanges were already running so low. And like what happens? That's probably why you don't want to keep all your crypto on the exchanges. Maybe just what you want to do some trading with, because then you can get in the scenario like FTX where they're using your cryptos, and it's like, it's almost like fractional reserve banking at that point, right? We don't want fractional reserve crypto.
No, but that's the beauty of absolute scarcity. You know, the Federal Reserve can continue to just turn the money printers on and make more so that there's more to put out in the ecosystem. But there's only 21 million Bitcoin. Remember, a million of them are in Satoshi's wallets, which have been untouched since the beginning of Bitcoin time. Mm-hmm. At least 4 million are said to have been lost forever, including Sir Lord Travis's 55
in some dumpster in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
They're gone. And so that brings us down to what, 15 million, 14 to 15 million in circulation. Then you've got about 4 million that are in strong hands. They ain't never selling.
Yeah.
Never.
This was the thing that excited us so much. When you finally understand that about Bitcoin and you understand that about money, is like, oh, when they want to just create more money, they just print more money. Well, when you want to create more Bitcoin, oh, guess what? You can't. So the algorithm is the price of Bitcoin will continue to increase. And then right now, the only thing that would probably, what maybe happen with Bitcoin down the road is right now it has 8 decimal points. I could see it maybe extending that to 10 or 12 decimal points later on as Bitcoin becomes so You know, if it's $1 million a token, right?
And so, what do you call those, Trev? If the smallest denomination at the eighth decimal point is a Satoshi, baby sats, like what do you call those?
Probably they're little subs, they're subtoshis,
subsats, subtoshis.
Yeah, they're like, but I could see like that. They're not going to create more Bitcoin, they're not going to double and say, okay, there's 42 million now. No, but I could see that. But then again, that would have to be voted on, right? And utilize. And I do want to say this, because the halving that's taken place, Joel, is when this goes into place, Bitcoin runes, R-U-N-E-S, is going to go into place. And I think we need to have our own episode on this and have somebody on who's an expert in runes, okay, because ordinals is sort of being deprecated and it's too bulky, it's too big, and runes is going to be the new digital asset class on top of Bitcoin in theory. And it's going to become available when the halving happens. And that's one reason I like ICP, Internet Computer Protocol, Joel, is because once that happens, ICP is going to be able to start utilizing those runes and writing to them and interacting effectively at almost like an L2 on top of Bitcoin, which is weird. The price is tanking of ICP, but that's the way crypto goes, with the roller coaster right behind you.
Roller coaster. Crypto.
Dude, I love that you got all these traders sitting out there. There's the roller coaster behind you.
Yeah, they're like watching. Well,
that needs to be animated.
I handmade it. I made
that's really
this.
Good. You did really good. You're hand.
I made it. Yeah. So here's the other interesting thing. You know, you talk about maybe needing more decimal points for Satoshis. In fiat currency, it's actually gone the other way. Like, we don't need cents anymore. Like, there's no point. Why have the penny? Why have the nickel? I guess I understand why you still have a quarter, but, you know, for a quarter dollar. But honestly, we could move the other way, and will move the other way eventually with fiat currency, as we'll eliminate those decimal points and denominations because of inflation.
Yep. I mean, I don't know why there's a penny now at this point, but I mean, that's how countries end up getting the $1 trillion Zimbabwean note,
mm-hmm,
right?
Well, it's like if you eliminated the penny, you'd be getting rid of Lincoln, but he's got the five. So it's okay. We can do that.
Right. Okay.
You can.
So what still gets me then is that if we're going to get rid of the decimal points, then we need to get $500 bill back. We need to get $1,000 bill back. Right.
I want the $100,000 bill, the Woodrow Wilson $100,000 bill. That was the thing.
Was the thing. Back in the day, but it was gold-backed, right? Wasn't it? It's like $100,000 worth of gold.
Yeah.
Here's your Woodrow Wilson, who ironically is one of the shittiest, because he's the one that allowed the Federal Reserve Bank and the IRS to be created, and he was working in cahoots with those globalist bankers that became the globalist banking family. So screw Woodrow Wilson. I like him very, very minimally.
Could you imagine walking into the bank and saying, I need $100,000. Would you like that in small bills? No, give me a Woody.
Dude, I actually saw a video of a guy at the bank in Canada. I just saw it yesterday.
I saw it. Go on.
Yeah. Dude was trying to get $3,000 out to pay for a car, to pay for the guy. And they were like, so we need you to, you know, could you show us why you need your $3,000? He's like, why do I need to tell you why I need to get my money out? You don't need to know none of it. And they're like, no, you do. He's like, well, I'm going to sit here. So you need to get me my money. Dude, if that was happening, I'd be like, give me all of my money, because I'm closing my account.
Right.
Because eat a bag of dicks.
That's exactly how I would get my money, is I would be like, okay, well, then I'm going to, I'm out, and I'll take it all instead of the $3,000.
Yeah. The hell is that?
Here, I got a link to it right here. Let's go ahead. Beautiful. And, let's go ahead and play this. Let me share.
You're like our own version of, you're like Joel. You're like Joe Rogan and Jamie. You just pull it up. Like, hey, pull it up myself.
Here it is. Let's see. Volume, please.
I can't use a bank draft.
Are you buying from like a private?
Yeah, it's private. It's literally.
I'm buying somebody's privates.
Yeah, but he wants it in cash.
I bet he could have gone in and said, "I'm doing a transsexual sex change." They'd be like, "Oh, here you go."
What is this? I it's my money. I'm allowed to withdraw from my own bank account.
How crazy.
What's the maximum limit you can give a withdrawal to a customer? It's $3,000 on the date. You've already mentioned that multiple times.
Yeah, not today.
Why not?
We'll put
giving my money
in the show notes so you guys can check.
Dude, you know that's coming. If it's not already here for you, then you can see clues of what's happening in other places, and then that's eventually going to come here, right?
Well, so, it's getting crazier in the U.S. for sure. But meanwhile, around the world, other places are more crypto favorable. And the South Korean won, their fiat currency, has passed the U.S. dollar in crypto trading volume. And so what does that tell you about how the U.S. is as a leading world power? We're fallen. We're fallen because South Korea is like, we're going to adopt this. We're going to regulate it, but we're going to encourage this in our marketplace. At least that's what it appears to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, seriously, we've talked about this for almost 7 years. The more regulatory and the more crazy people are getting anti-crypto and the government and the SEC, then these companies are going to leave and they're going to go and do stuff in other places. That's what they're doing. And now we're going to start seeing other projects and other countries start popping up and surpassing America, which is what we're... Is this the first time we've seen another country, surpass the USD? That's never happened before.
It might be.
Wow. That's great. Yeah.
It's very, very possible. So predictions are out there. And Yatsu, who's a friend of the show, has been on here, the chairman, founder of Animoca Games, said recently at WED Summit in Brazil that Bitcoin will reach over $1 million. It makes perfect sense when you do the math, right? He's not saying tomorrow, he's not saying this halving, but as a store of value, you know, the short period of time that Bitcoin has been around, you know, what are we at? How many years now? Since 2008,
2009, yeah,
2009, so right?
14 years. I think we just passed the 14-year anniversary of it in October.
That's a short amount of time. That is really short. Like, I try to look at the present from the state of the future, right? Because like when you look at your life and you go, okay, look back 20 years ago. What were things like? What did you not know then that you wish you knew? That you know now. Now, jump forward 50 years, right? In 50 years, people are going to be going, man, can you believe these people that could have bought Bitcoin at $100,000, $250,000, right? When they see what it's worth in the future, assuming that this is the direction that it goes. The future will look at the past and go, what idiots. They were selling, you know, they were panicking at $50,000.
Right. Well, I mean, look at this. So say Bitcoin reaches $1,000 by what, 2030? I've seen ARK Invest, I've Kathy Wood, they're saying we think
Bitcoin reaches $1 million
by 2030, 2034, maybe, right? And so I think by 2034, 99% of all Bitcoin will have been mined, if I'm not mistaken. And so they're going to say, let's say Bitcoin's worth $1 million. How much do you think in 10 years from now, Joel, just as a ballpark, how much do you think an ounce of gold will be worth?
I think an ounce of gold will probably in 10 years from now, at least double, maybe three times.
So maybe $5,000?
Five to seven.
Okay, let's say $5,000.
Which is nothing compared to
what. If 1 ounce of gold is $5,000 and Bitcoin's $1 million, that would mean one Bitcoin is worth 200 ounces of gold.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Gold is an incredible store of wealth because we know it's rare, we know it's a precious metal, we know it's universally accepted, but it's really difficult. You know, you picture, okay, I've got this as a hedge, but how am I going to go spend my gold? Like, you're going to take an ounce of gold to buy a loaf of bread or something that's worth $5,000.
No, that's why there's always an intermediary. Like, you got to go to the coin shop. Be like, all right, hey, I got 10 ounces of gold. Here's 10 ounces of gold. Give me $23,000, right? Okay, maybe they're not liquid enough to be able to do it. So it's a really wonky system because supply versus demand and liquidity is not always as effective as you would want it to be, right?
It's true. So, you know, other countries are seeing the impact of crypto. And in Israel, the central bank officials there are saying that digital payment methods have eroded the role of cash. Bravo. Bravo. That's what we want to do. Erode the role of cash because cash ain't real, folks. Currency that is issued by the state is paper. It's backed by the trust of the state. And let's face it, there ain't a state that we trust. And so, you know, they want to have CBDCs so that they can have control of the money supply. And that is contrary to what Bitcoin was created for.
Mm. Yes. Now, do we go over the GameFi ecosystem one, or is this a different one? I don't see this.
That story is right here. GameFi.
Boom. There we go. Because I was looking at that. Did you pull that one up from the side or something?
There it is. GameFi ecosystem makes a comeback amid surging crypto prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the whole ecosystem around GameFi is one of those narratives to keep an eye on. Now, there's a lot of FUD going on right now, again, just because of the geopolitical stuff. They're like, okay, gaming and AI, crypto's not as important. I saw Alex Becker was like, sell all your crypto. Everything's going downhill, at least for a bit. And so there's some people freaking out about it. But, you know, GameFi, this right here, the whole move to earn protocol that had Stepin, which was a cool one that came out, I think, in 2021 maybe is when Stepin came out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they're partnering with Adidas. It's like, hey, get your asses off your couch, go for a nice little walk. And they launched some tokens on Solana. So, I mean, GameFi not going away. I think there are some other narratives, Joel, that we'll talk about more so. Like, I think RWA is one of the most exciting ones, which is real world assets. We're going to see that one. We're going to be talking about real world assets on Bad Crypto for as long as we have Bad Crypto into the future, because it's such a powerful narrative. And if you love gaming, like this is a really cool thing. What Stepin's NFT sneaker mechanic? You want to talk about those? It's a fun. That's a cool little graphic, anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing here is Stepin's a project that's been around for a while, but they're partnering with Adidas, and they're going to drop 1,000 Genesis Edition NFTs that are going to be valued at $2,200 each. You could buy them with the GMT token, and then you get rewards for using this. And this app is pretty cool here. Like, you could see your sneaker on here and the different attributes it has and how having certain attributes higher earn you more of the GST token and get you more drops. And I think it's a great idea. You get people out and about, and this is, of course, just one of them. And then we have the BitBoy One. They call it the world's first Web3 gaming device. You've got retro gaming. That is blockchainified here.
Nice.
And so this is...
Oh, BitBoy's going to sue them.
Yeah, right. And of course, we recently had Dirk Lewitt from Upland on the show again, and they are dropping their Sparklet token soon, which is going to... Because right now, their UPIX token is just a $1 pegged stable token that is, you can't buy in exchanges. It's only for in the app. But now they're going to be launching the Sparklet token on Ethereum, which you will use to build out your presence, your monopoly of properties and decorations and games in the Upland universe. And they've got 30,000 daily active users. There isn't, to my knowledge, there is not apart from a botted game in quotes that has more than that online. And they're actually either right now they're getting ready to have their big conference in Las Vegas. And I guess people who come there are going to have a chance to get Sparklet dropped to them for participating. So good job.
Now, that'd be a fun one to go to. Yeah. So I have the Stepin app. I need to be utilizing it more. This is when you start taking in real world and then applying gaming metrics to it, right? Game mechanics to be able to play. That's one reason I think that Upland has been so fun, because they took the real world. Here's the real world. I bought the properties around where I live and I'm building a big, you know, the properties aren't, they're not exactly, but they're pretty close. And then I bought a big, huge one. I put a big house on it. It's taken takes me like 3.5 of my Spark. It's taken me like 35 days to be able to build this. I'm going to this big, huge place. It's just kind of fun. Walk around. You can combine that with the Stepin feature. That's what would be awesome, is like, you know, let people go be, you know, physically active and go earn Sparklet by walking around their neighborhood, or going and actually connecting to real world assets, or the digital version of the real world asset. Like if you like if you go on Mercer Place in San Francisco and you like logged in, like I here I am, like can I get some extra Sparklet or something like that?
Well, I think what they're wanting to do is they have a third party developer program. So anybody can build a game or gamification into Upland now.
Yeah.
So that's something, like if somebody wanted to do that, you could definitely do that. So I say go for it, Travis. Build a bring Stepin.
I got enough shit to do.
with Upland. So meanwhile, regulation in the U.S., the total tools up on Capitol Hill that know nothing about crypto and only want to control what you do, how you do it, when you do it, who you do it with, and what you say and what you think, are working on regulation. They want to pass this stablecoin bill in the U.S. Senate Banking Committee.
But this one's interesting, though. They're trying to tie a stablecoin, combining it with legislation with marijuana businesses. Right. Okay. So maybe it's a marijuana business stable coin, because marijuana dispensaries have such a hard time, like with banks. Like, and then it would seem to me like banks don't like marijuana businesses because they're legal in the state, but not according to federal. So maybe that's an angle, because it's like, oh, boom, you put it in the stable coin and you could like, if some of these dispensaries are sitting there with several thousand, tens of thousands of dollars in cash because they don't accept debit cards or credit cards, right? And there's just shitloads of cash. That's like a prime place to go get robbed.
Well, anytime I hear that the government is doing something, I think it's not going to be good for people. So, right.
Well, especially when Maxine Waters is in charge.
Or involved in any way, shape, or form. You can't say that, Travis. You can't.
That was very horrible of me. I apologize. And I need to go to a re-education camp.
Yes, you do, and you shall. They're knocking on your door right now.
Travis Wright, come out with your arms up.
Yeah,
hands.
I have another.
Put your penis away.
No!
So, meanwhile, people are speculating, speaking of government, about what's going to happen in Ripple versus SEC. And the consensus seems to be that the government is going to have a real hard time winning their case here. Ripple is feeling pretty secure about this. Of course, only time is going to tell. And you can read this story and others referenced in this show on the show notes at our website. It's really easy to get to. Just go to badco.in/722. And for the more astute of you, you'll recognize that that is the episode number.
It almost seems like Lawfare has been going up against Ripple for what, the last 3 years or something? Like, that's the thing about these cases. They just last forever. And I think they almost just the government just patiently awaits them to slowly run out of money. But I don't think that happens with something like Ripple that's, you know, in the XRP token that's worth, I don't know, even know how many billions it's worth right now.
Billions.
You know? But it's crazy. Yeah. I don't think you're going to be able to outweigh them. So hopefully, that could be one of those cases where it's like, let's get the other one got finalized or whatever happened before. And it's like, it seemed like Ripple was done with all their legal stuff, but apparently there's other cases that's going on, and let's get those finished and let's get it set up so other crypto companies aren't afraid to do business in America, because it's so dumb. It just pisses me off so much. I'm like, oh, sorry, you're in America or in North Korea or Iran, so you can't participate. Like, what? What?
Oh, got something else for you to watch here, Sir Lord Travis. This is an ad that that Coinbase put out. Food for thought. What if money was designed to get you more over time, not less?
Over time, your money gets you less. Does Bitcoin? Well, in 2012, one Bitcoin bought you this much pizza. In 2016, this much pizza. In 2020, this much pizza. And in 2024, well, you get the gist. Roughly every 4 years, the future supply of Bitcoin is reduced. So historically, you get more, not less.
Really good commercial from Coinbase there.
Right.
Beautiful.
Well, actually, they could have even gone a little bit further and said, and in 2011, 10,000 Bitcoins will get you two pizzas. Right? Like that's good. I liked it. It looks like they even, I like that. That was a really cool, commercial.
Yeah. They put that out there to celebrate Bitcoin Pizza Day. And here's the original post on the Bitcoin forum from Laszlo Heniak, who said, I'll pay 10,000 Bitcoins for a couple of pizzas, like maybe two large ones, so I have some left over for the next day. I like having leftover pizza to nibble on later. 10,000 Bitcoin. Yeah.
10,000 Bitcoin. But you know what? The thing is, without Laszlo doing that, then Bitcoin maybe never even takes off as being a method of payment. Yeah. Because once this happened in 2010, then what ended up happening from that, you know, right? Then you start getting Silk Road. You start seeing some of these other things, and people start moving and paying for things with Bitcoin kind of on the underground. So maybe without Laszlo doing that, like, Aside from Satoshi, maybe Laszlo's the patron saint of Bitcoin.
He's a hero. He absolutely is.
Patron saint of Bitcoin plus pizza, both of them.
Meanwhile, PayPal is going, you know what? We got to change our policy, gang, because, you know, they have this buyer protection policy. You buy something, you don't get it, or it's defective, or you get scammed. They'll like work to get you your money back. But they're saying, hey, if you buy NFTs using PayPal, you're not going to be protected. That's just, you know, there's too many problems because they can't identify the wallet that's tied to the account, and there's too many scams, and I don't blame them.
People trying to manipulate that system too, just trying to be like, hey, no, I didn't buy it. What is this? Hey, you guys, what?
Totally get this. So, you know, the one thing I'll say positive about PayPal is that you can buy crypto on PayPal. You can buy Bitcoin and Ethereum, and at least they're not saying you can't use PayPal to do Web3 activity. So good on them for that. Trav, that's all the news that I've got, but I want to point out that those who are in the bad media community on uncut.network just got another airdrop. If you haven't checked your wallet yet, then let me scroll through here. Look at all the NFTs we've dropped. Oh my gosh, there's so many beautiful, amazing NFTs, and there's a new one, which I guess didn't go to the official wallet. Should be here under the collectibles somewhere. It was the proto, there it is, the proto dank sharding in public NFT. This was referencing an episode that we had a few shows ago, and this was airdropped. If you have the Bad Crypto Nifty Club membership card, if you don't have one, why don't you? It is the most affordable NFT in the world. It's only $6 right now at badcrypto.uncut.network. It's this red spinny one right here. Go get it. $6 bucks. It's pegged to 0.002 ETH, but I believe you can use cash to get it as well. And then you will be in the Bad Crypto Nifty Club community, and you'll get cool airdrops. Many of the ones that you're seeing right here are some of the cool airdrops, some of which unlock benefits, like our friends who have one of these crypto bull dragons that you and AI designed cooperatively are in a private Telegram group with us. And like they ask questions, and sometimes we say, I don't know, ask Travis. Because
that's true. Know. That's good. Hey, I want to throw this out there too. If you are not tired of hearing my voice, I have started another podcast called Spiritual Technologies. Spiritualtech.io is the website. But I think if you go on Apple or Spotify or any of those now, you should be able to pull up Spiritual Technologies as a show. And so this is a side of me that I haven't shared so much, but I'm starting to do more so because the world's a little crazy. And so there's some things that I've been working on. And the thing is, like, I'm getting to talk to some of the most amazing people in the consciousness space, right? And so this is something that I have done for years. I've been studying this stuff for almost 30 years, but I rarely talk about it. And the episode that comes out on April 18th, which is not actually the third episode, it's more so me saying, what is spiritual technologies? What are some of the other things that's going on underneath it? And so if you're interested in tuning in to hear Travis talk about some different things, I'm still a smart ass, so that's good. But then you get a little different side of my personality on that. So that one interview with Jonathan Goldman was so awesome, talking about how sound it can help heal. And they literally had just right after that, they came out with some scientists that came out with some news that healthy cells actually vibrate and they sing their own little healthy song. Aww. And when they get unhealthy, they don't vibrate in tune with everyone, and cancer has its own. So they were actually able to go in using sound and just target and destroy cancer cells, which is wild. So sound and frequency is pretty wild. So anyways, I'm studying and exploring all that stuff in addition to other things that I'm working on.
You guys check it out, spiritualtech.io. Anytime where Travis says words, it's worth listening, gang. Anytime.
Same words. It's words. Yeah,
you're good.
Not just the words I'm saying. There's some awesome people, like literally, like, I have some spectacular people coming on the show because I've reached out to like, hey, here are the A+ people I'd like to reach. And then some of them are like, meh. So, all right, A- people. I can talk to them.
C+ anybody.
I'm good with the C. No, they're actually pretty much everyone I've had so far is spectacular. So it's good.
There you go. All right, gang. Well, we appreciate you listening in as always. If you get a moment, go on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast and go give us a 5-star review. It's good for the algorithm, and it gives us warm fuzzies in the places where you want your fuzzies to be warm.
Warms the cockles, too. I like them.
Warms the cockles of our hearts and reminds us to remind you, stay there. The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.